I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. A lot of people give a lot of bad advice on the internet, but I've noticed a particular trend recently that I think is just really prevalent and it's spreading. So I'm going to address it. It's what gets told to women who yearn to get married and have a family. And it's just some of the worst advice around. In the British newspaper, The Independent, a woman wrote in saying the following, quote, "I'm 31 and have been with my boyfriend for 12 years. He is my favorite person in the world, but I have spent the past year devastated by the realization that he is never going to ask me to marry him. He doesn't agree with marriage and hates the idea of a day full of attention. All my girlfriends are married, and although I'm so happy in my relationship, I can't help but compare and despair every time I go to a wedding. I lost my dad when I was very young and also feel sad and unreasonably bitter at the fact that most of my friends get it all, a dad and a husband, a father of the bride speech, a perfect white wedding. I know I want to grow old and gray with my boyfriend and we both want children soon, but I still feel sad about the wedding that we're not having and the memories that we're not making with friends and family. Please help me," end quote. The column is called Dear Dolly, and Dolly responds with just about the worst answer I can imagine. She starts out talking about how romantic weddings are and how even she, Dolly, has gotten caught up in that despite the fact that she herself does not want to get married. Dolly writes, quote, "I'm sorry it's causing you such distress. I know of other women who have been put in your position and they too were surprised at how much it bothered them. I admire how clear-eyed you are about what it is you want, a big traditional wedding where you and your partner's relationship is celebrated. And it seems obvious to me that because of his personality type, this is not something he would find enjoyable. This doesn't seem to be about his commitment to you," end quote. Yeah, sure. The Brits have this thing where you can bet on just about anything. What color the princess will be wearing, what celebrity will die this year, and so on. Well, I'd place the bet that if this couple broke up tomorrow, he'd likely marry the next person he dates. It's a well-worn path that many people have taken before him. Dolly goes on, quote, "In your longer letter, you mentioned that he says he doesn't want to get married because it is a patriarchal institution," end quote. I mean, LOL, honestly. He won't marry her because of the patriarchy. What a good guy. There was a time where men said they wouldn't marry their girlfriends until their gay friends could marry. Lena Dunham, the actress's longtime boyfriend, famously said this. And then gay marriage became legal, and they still didn't get married. Fight the patriarchy, right? Do whatever your boyfriend wants to do and don't make him have to consider your feelings. Girl power. Dolly gives her some tips on talking to her boyfriend about maybe having a non-traditional wedding and then says, quote, Another thing you may want to consider is a big birthday. A wedding is not something I dream of, but a big birthday has become a shining day in my calendar year. For my 35th, I wore a Vivian Westwood dress, black, not white, and took some friends for dinner on a canal boat. My best friend made a beautiful speech. Everyone got up to no good. It was wonderful. Why not redirect your wedding longing into a big birthday party? Be utterly shameless about it. Ask your boyfriend to make a toast, buy yourself a ridiculous outfit, tell your best friend your favorite flavor of cake. Let yourself enjoy the celebration and attention you long for. Let yourself be showered in the love and silliness and fuss that you deserve. Do it completely on your own terms. You may wake up the next day to find an itch has been scratched. End quote. And that's just completely misreading what this woman wants. She wants the traditional picture of the wedding and the marriage. A big birthday party? Be serious. She says specifically that she's jealous her friends get to have it all, a dad and a husband. She wants what women have wanted for hundreds and maybe thousands of years. The questioner is not the weird one here. The people gaslighting her into believing she shouldn't want this because of the patriarchy or whatever are the ones rewriting something basic and obvious. People want to tie themselves to each other in front of their friends and family. They want the wedding, yes, but they want the marriage. They want what has worked and not the latest thing that probably won't. Coming up next, an interview with New York City Councilman Joe Borelli. Join us after the break.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is Republican leader of the New York City City Council and generally decent human, Joe Borelli. Hi, Joe.
How are you? Great to see you.
So nice to have you on, Councilman.
Anytime. I wish I was where you are right now instead of where I am.
I wish you were where I was also, but somebody has to hold it down in New York City. And, you know, that's been you for many years now. How's it going?
I mean, we're still floating. things are okay. Things are not as bad as I think they were maybe a year ago, and you know, 6 months ago even. So there's some positive news. Crime is ticking down just slightly. The migrant crisis is abetting itself ever so slightly. Unfortunately, now we're seeing the convergence of the crime and migrant crisis in the form of some high profile incidents that occurred. But other than that, the city financially is doing okay. And we'll still be here, I think, in a decade or so.
I should hope so. You know, I don't know. So how is the migrant crisis abetting itself? I mean, just from the news, it seems to not be abetting itself.
Well, the number of people in our care not only stayed at about under 70,000 people, but it trickled down ever so slightly. So we've implemented a 60-day eviction process, which has seen some results. We've also stopped leasing new hotels. More people have gone into tents. It turns out people don't like to stay in tents for too long. So eventually it works out where they work out.
Interesting. Okay, I get that. So one thing that I ask everybody on this show, and I feel like asking a New York City councilman, you might have an extensive answer, but what would you say is our largest societal problem, and is it solvable?
You know, so I saw your question when you emailed me this, and I wanted to say something entirely predictable, but I'm going to not do that. I'm going to say something that I think is the case, and it's kind of a deep, dark secret that maybe I think this way. I actually think it's our sense of entitlement, because that is it's a broad disease that infects every race, color, and creed, and especially younger people. But I think it's this sense of entitlement as to what people are owed when they wake up in the morning that is going to make the U.S. Long-term less competitive than anywhere else. And I just never understood it. And I've seen it in my 20 years as a professional person with a job where, you know, when I started in politics, in fact, when I started in politics, my first job was an intern. And then after college, my first job in politics was to hang posters around town. I mean, just, you know, literally taking a stack of heavy posters rolled up and walking from business to business and introducing myself and giving a pitch for this candidate I was working for at the time. And like that was how you started. Now, I mean, people won't even volunteer for a campaign. And I put air quotes in volunteer unless they're paid, and they're paid well, and they're getting a minimum wage. We just had a unionizing effort by the staff of the city council where now legislative staff is unionized. And again, I'm not opposed to unions, but these are fundamentally at will employees. These are people who are, you know, I get elected, you get elected, whoever gets elected.
Yeah.
They're in charge of hiring people that are part of their team, and they're at will employees, but now they're unionized and there's an entitlement that they get at regular raises. Not to mention just what people's expectations are coming out of college, what people's expectations are in terms of government support. Look at the migrant crisis. I mean, we've always had migrants, right? New York City has always had immigrants, migrants, legal, illegal, every kind of where in between over the past, 400 years of our city, 1625, almost 500 years. So we're not used to having people come here. We're just not used to having people come here with everything paid for, with every aspect of life being accounted for. So I think if you had to ask me what you did, what is the biggest problem in our culture going forward? I think it's entitlement.
So what do we do? How do we solve this?
Well, I can tell you how I'm doing it with my own kids. You know, I'm trying to make my kids work for things, everything from privileges to their own little freedoms and ability to go out with their friends. I mean, that's what we're doing in the Borelli household. How society implements that, I'm not really sure, but it can't just be, because you're breathing, you are entitled to X, Y, and Z. Because you think you got a degree from a fancy institution, you should be entitled to some other series of benefits. I think letting people, you look at a country like Israel, for example, where there's, compulsive military service, right? And I'm not saying the military is for everyone, but when you have a compulsive military service, you have to do without for a period of your life. And look at the products downstream of that, where you have one of the most innovative societies on Earth, one of the most entrepreneurial societies on Earth. And that's 100% credited to the fact that they make every kid, when you're a kid when you're 18, go out and earn some respect, earn some self-worth, learn about what you're able to do and how you can produce.
Interesting. How do we translate that here without compulsory, you know, military service? What do we, like, how do we teach this new generation, next generation, that they can't just expect things, that they don't get out of college and make six figures? And who's lying to them, I guess, is the better question. Who is telling them to have these expectations?
I mean, that answer comes from this expectation that college is for everyone, that there's mm-hmm. a government loan for you to, you know, go to college and you're not mm-hmm. going to have to actually pay for it. I mean, I have college loans, but I chose to go to a college that gave me the biggest scholarship. You know, I wanted to go to a good school, right? No one wants to go to a bad school. And when you can make good schools, you want to go there. But I went to the best school that I could in order to have the least amount of debt possible. Yeah, look, I saw my own parents. My dad was an MTA worker. My mother did, you know, various jobs over the years, no sort of career. But like we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't go sit courtside at the Knicks. I've never even been to a Knicks game now that I think about it.
You've never been to a Knicks game?
No, I don't think I've ever been to a Knicks game.
Are you a Knicks fan?
No, I hate basketball.
Oh, well, I hate basketball too, but I still have to go to games sometimes.
No, never. I mean, we just didn't do those things. We were always comfortable. We were middle class. We never mm-hmm. had luxuries. But
I just want headline after this interview to be like, New York City councilman hates basketball, you know, hates the Knicks and the Nets.
If that's the headline, I wish that was the headline, right? I mean, I'm short, fat, and white, so like basketball was never really an option for me. In fact, I could remember in like the third grade just playing intramural rec league at the parish gym, and I would get the ball and I'd get so scared I'd crunch up into a ball and then I'd throw it over my head and hope this guy named Joe Monferrato would catch it. He's a big guy, man. He used to play pretty well.
Did he generally catch it?
Generally caught it and made a basket, and like we went on to great things.
Nice. So you're only the second politician I've had on this show, because I generally don't find politicians that interesting. But you and Ted Cruz are, you know, the two exceptions to that.
He's an interesting guy.
Who do you like? Like, who are the politicians you find interesting? Who else should I have on the Carol Markowitz show?
Politicians I find interesting are people who write. So everyone from Benjamin Disraeli to Boris Johnson to Steve Israel. I think when you're a writer. Mm-hmm.
Anybody in America or
yeah, Steve Israel? Israel, a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I like people who can frame thoughts in like written works. Mm-hmm. So that's who I find interesting. Other just general politicians I find interesting. Some of my colleagues I actually find that they are interesting people. Some of the diverse backgrounds, you know, genuinely have me interested in their life experience. There's one guy, you know, Kevin Riley. He is a black man, South Bronx, has a fatherhood-based nonprofit where he is just always talking about fatherhood and being a role model as a man, as a dad in the community. I find his whole thing just so really interesting. He'd be an interesting person to have on a show like this. National politics, I mean, it's so boring. I mean,
boring, right? I just like
wild card. I mean, they threw him out of Congress. You know what I mean? Like that guy was bizarre. He was like, he's nuts. I know him. He's a nut job, but he was interesting, right? Mm-hmm. It really is not a profession that rewards eccentrism and originalism. Although, right. You know, we've had Donald Trump, we have Javier Milei, we have these exceptions to my rule. But as a general rule of thumb, man, politicians are so boring. Like even the ones that know how to tweet a little bit are like think they're wild, but like they wouldn't be getting any followers as content creators had they not been the US senator from Oklahoma or something.
Right. I'm gonna have to look up who you're talking about after the show.
Cotton, Senator Cotton. I mean, like, he's a smart guy. He's got a good Twitter. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting guy. But like, if he was just a host on CNBC, I wouldn't be watching him.
I understand that.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on The Carol Markowitz Show.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time. We hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun,
and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you feel like you've made it? I mean, being on the New York City City Council, and you were one of the few Republicans for so long. Do you feel good about it? Do you feel like you've made it?
So I feel good about it because I accomplished one minor goal. So there was a school for handicapped kids that I ran for office to build. So I wanted to knock down this. It was like an old temporary building, like one of those Quonset hut, like Vietnam era Quonset hut, to make people think about what this building was. And this is where we were sending handicapped kids who are physically and developmentally disabled. And it was just it was an appalling thing. And I set out to do it. And we got, you know, $60 million or so. We built them a brand new massive school, and it's wonderful. So like, I'm one of those people where like everything after that is cake, right? That's a little thing that I could rest my head and say, you know what? I did something good for people. And by the way, now that we have the school, now the PTA chirps in my ear every day for this and that. There's problems all over the place. Uh-huh. But it's still better than having the floor rotting out from this Quonset hut. But like, bigger picture, have I made it and what am I going to do next? Are kind of like intertwined, right? And I think everyone has to figure out whether they're a person who's motivated by money or they're motivated by ego. And like, so like I've met my ego threshold where like I have become a certain degree of famous, like not, you know, big fish in a small pond. Right. I get to be on TV on a regular basis. I mean, people watch Fox, Fox Business, Newsmax, CNN. They watch this stuff religiously. And I've been so blessed to be able to go on these shows. People read the New York Post. It's like the biggest circulating paper in the country. And you get to write a lot for
that. Best newspaper in the country. Let's not mince words here. New York Post.
Bar none. And I get to publish with them, you know, every couple of weeks. I submit something and they've been great to me. So like, being a Republican on the city council, the best you could hope for is to influence political thought in New York City. And again, New York City, bigger in terms of population and budget than Switzerland.
Right.
So like, it's not just a regular municipality.
Yeah.
So I guess I've made it. Other people will say, like, well, what's it all worth? Like what am I going to do next? Do I continue this path? where I want to keep running for office or keep doing things that sort of meet my own personal vision of accomplishment, like really like my ego and stuff? Or do I say like, okay, now I'm going to work in the private sector and can I earn more money?
Yeah.
And those things aren't mutually exclusive, but finding the one that checks both boxes is tough. Like even if you're a house painter, for example, you know, you want to make the most money painting houses, but you also don't want to be the worst house painter in the town you live in, right? So like there's like a professional accomplishment that you want to be, whether you're painting houses or you know, painting, you know, the next Monet. And even if you're not motivated by money, you still want to have enough to be comfortable. So I don't know. I guess for me, it's finding that right balance. And so the answer is no. I don't think I have that right balance yet. All that to say, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, it's funny. I know. It's funny because when I think of you, I saw you in December on the West Coast of Florida. It was my first time on the West Coast. We had, you know, a super great time. Wait, what's that place called again?
Seed to Table. Shameless.
Oh, Seed to Table. I'm sorry. Yeah, Seed to Table.
I live down the block. I need you to be my best friend.
Yeah, Seed to Table. It was unreal, incredible. We had the best time. And you seem so comfortable and natural and happy in Florida. And I'm obviously a Florida evangelist. I want you here. But then I have this thing where I just think you're like the only shot New York has. Like, I think without you, I don't know what happens to New York without Joe Borelli. So I kind of want you here so we could go have beers at Seed to Table, but I also want you to fix the city that I love and, you know, maybe, I don't know, run for mayor or, you know, something like that. And really, really turn that place around.
You know, if something, and I don't root against people at all. I don't. I don't root against Bill de Blasio personally. I don't root against, you know, Kathy Hochul. I rooted against Andrew Cuomo because he's a bad human being.
Like bad human being.
Genuinely bad person. I just think Bill de Blasio is dopey and had bad ideas. Kathy Hochul is kind of ineffectual, you know, but like a nice – I had lunch with her in the past. I mean, she's a nice person, right?
I'm not a fan, but okay.
bad person.
Yeah, I agree with you about Bill de Blasio. I think he just, you know, has terrible ideas. I mean, he's not a bad person.
I texted him, hey, Bill, the dye job looks great because he dyed it all. And like, I'm trying to be nice, but it's like it sounds sarcastic and it's kind of it. I don't know whether I was being nice or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Staten Island first. I'm not New York first. I am a Staten Islander through and through. If Staten Island seceded, I would run for mayor. And about Eric Adams, if Eric Adams gets jammed up and resigns and there's like a 2 or 3 month race to replace him, nonpartisan race, maybe I throw my hat in the mix just to give people an alternative. So I don't think I have a chance of winning and might not actually do it. But I am so Staten Island that every day of my life, I wake up and I think how I love, like Staten Island's so unique, right? It's so unique and it's so introverted and we all know each other and we all grew up together and everyone knows everyone. It's like the pinnacle of small town, big city neighborhoods. It when you watch a movie about Boston and like you look at Southie, like that's not real. It's real on Staten Island. That's how Staten Island is. So like every day of my life, it's like I don't know whether I'm gonna be living here and touting Staten Island till the day I die, or the most Staten Island thing ever is that I spend half my day on Zillow saying I gotta get out of this place. This is the worst thing. That is
right.
I am more likely to buy a burial plot in Resurrection Cemetery, a quarter mile from where I'm standing, than another house in Staten Island. But like, it's like that is the most New York City thing ever. Is just to spend how much time on Zillow?
Right. And you know, you used to talk about Staten Island seceding, and that was like the scariest thing for some, you know, a conservative living in Brooklyn. Staten Island seceding means, you know, we're going to get far left leadership for the other four boroughs. Staten Island's the only thing holding that place together. So, but now that I'm gone, I'm like, maybe Staten Island should secede. maybe Joe Borelli's mayor of Staten Island, you know?
What the city needs to do is really implement nonpartisan open elections, basically. You know, because, I mean, Chicago has this, and Chicago's the only really bad example because they're corrupt and crazy. But again, the mayoralty came down to a razor-thin race between a guy who was rational and reasonable, a Democrat, I think his name is Paul Fallas, and the bat-crazy guy who is now the mayor who wants to get rid of the shock spotter technology. Like, literally, the audio radar thing that detects gunfire and sends the police. He wants to get rid of that. Anyway.
Wait, why does he want to get rid of it? It's probably racist, but I don't know how.
He is so woke, he's like asleep. Mm-hmm. Like that he thinks that because, you know, it's a similar scenario where it's hyper low turnout and the craziest person wins. New York could be like most other major cities in America where it's nonpartisan open elections where, yes, the person who's running is endorsed by the Democratic Party. They tout themselves as Democrats. Mm-hmm. Yes, the person who wins in most urban cities and many big cities are Democrats. More often than not, they're of the same race, color, and creed of the people who live in that city. We're not trying to change that. But having that open primary opens the voter turnout to more moderate, rational people. Mm-hmm. And the net effect on the city councils and the mayorships and whatever elected officials they have is a positive thing. That's why New York City Council is always in the news. It's not just because we are the biggest city in the country. It's because we do some dumb things incessantly. Incessantly. I mean, the guy wanted to ban the ice cream truck last year. That was his big proposal.
My kids heard about that in Florida. They were like, the ice cream truck ban in New York City, like, made national news.
Now we're going to ban Tide Pods and stuff like that.
But they're delicious. Why would you ban them?
Right. Not even for that. Not even for that actual good reason. Like, they're killing the environment or something. I don't even know why. But, like, we can't have nice things in New York.
Can't have nice things. Yeah. Which is why, again, you know, I feel like the future Joe Borelli lives in Florida. Because we get to have nice things here, and it's, you know, it'd be nice to share those nice things with you.
I got an email from my county commissioner a few months ago, maybe. His name is Chris Hall. If you live in Collier County, I'm in Chris Hall's district. I don't know the guy from Adam, but I sent him an email because I got his, like, you know, quarterly update, and it said, hey, you know, just pleased to announce we were able to lower, I forget the rate, but we were able to lower the tax rate, like the tiniest little hair. And okay. Like most people, that means nothing. But to someone in government, I'm like, you were able to lower the taxes. I wrote him the most effusively praiseworthy email. You are a champion, sir. You are a champion.
That's amazing.
He did respond. He seemed like a very nice guy. But like, I was just so impressed with. And Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds is my congressman down in Florida. I mean, this is a guy who is genuinely in office for the right reasons. I mean, his wife, what she's doing with charter schools and stuff like that. I mean, these are people who we can all get behind and cheer for. And again, he's one of those people that fled Brooklyn and settled in the West Coast of Florida. So, you know, he might have the playbook for me. I don't know. I mean, I'm never going to run for Congress.
But we'll see.
For right. me. No. I'm going to run for the border if I don't run for North Naples.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're New York's last great hope. So if I see you in Florida, I'll know New York is done.
It's a good barometer.
Yeah. So I love talking to you, Joe. I think we should do it again over beers. But end here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives.
Go back to what I said earlier. Figure out what makes you happy, whether it's satisfying your ego and your sense of accomplishment, meeting goals and challenges, or you're motivated by money. And I don't think those two things are are mutually exclusive, but I think you'll find happiness if you just acknowledge who you are as a person and what motivates you and what makes you happy, because then you'll be able to take a step back and figure out the best path for you that achieves some goals and makes you at least financially stable enough to live a comfortable life.
Thank you so much, New York City Councilman Joe Borelli. Loved having you on. See you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.